Thevenin's theorem is a wonderful tool, but it's also somewhat difficult for someone new to this stuff to really be able to comprehend and use, partly because it's an art as well as a technique. The art part of it comes in trying to figure out what component to pull out of the circuit to make the circuit solvable, that if you have a good grip on parallel series circuits and Ohm's law and that sort of thing, after a while that sort of thing becomes fairly easy to figure out. However, when first starting out, if you're not quite sure, a little fuzzy about what some of these things are and how you make some of these calculations, well, then it can be kind of tricky. Well, practice makes perfect, and I know that eventually you'll get there, so I'm not too worried about it. However, if it seems too daunting at this point, you can go ahead and skip this part, go on to stuff that will be covered later. However, when you get to the part where transistors and biasing starts to be discussed, you probably will want to come back to this and get it right. Anyway, on with the explanation. The idea of Thevenizing a circuit is what you do is you first of all identify the component that makes Ohm's law impractical, and you open the circuit at that point. If you look at the upper left-hand frame, the top series of drawings and the most left one, I have the whole circuit, and the idea is to figure how much voltage is across the 510-ohm resistor. Effectively, the meter is connected to the point where all three resistors come together and then back to ground. The fact that you're using two different power supplies makes that terribly unworkable for Ohm's law. And if you remove the 470-ohm resistor temporarily, the circuit is a whole lot simpler, and it's real easy to figure out what the voltage at that point is. We'll call that voltage the open terminal voltage of an as-yet-not-fully-specified black box power supply. After you've determined the open terminal voltage, in this case, the open terminal voltage at that point is 3.857 volts, if you're doing your calculation. Incidentally, rather than trying to add up the total resistance and then take the total voltage, you know, divide that to get the current flowing through it, and then multiplying the current times, you know, the 510-ohm resistor in this case, there is a shortcut that I should mention at this stage that works. At least it's easier to think of it in terms like this. If this confuses you, just forget everything I said, because it's something you'll figure out algebraically later someday. But what you do is you take, well, I think of it as to get the ratio of voltage from the power supply to the various points in the circuit, to get the ratio of the voltage, it's total resistance, well, it's partial resistance over total resistance. That gets you the ratio, and then you just multiply by the voltage. In this case, it's 510 ohms divided by the sum of 510 plus 680 ohm, and you take that result and multiply it by 9 volts, and now you've got the voltage across the 510-ohm resistor. That technique works really well, and it's real easy to see it as a ratio of voltages rather than mucking about with all the details of the current flowing through it and so forth. But I mention that kind of as an aside. Eventually you'll get to where you'll come up with your own methods, but that one works particularly well. Okay, so now you have a voltage, And the next thing to do is to figure out what the impedance looking back into that voltage is, because it's not like a power supply. It's not zero. It actually has a fair amount of resistance in this case, and that has to be taken into consideration. But the way you take it into consideration might not be intuitively obvious. You short the power supplies. In this case, I have drawn a wire across where the power supply had been connected, namely from the top node to the ground in the next frame, the third picture. And I've labeled it as 0 volts, just to further drive home the point. And now I've got an ohmmeter connected where the voltmeter had been connected. The ohmmeter is trying to read the resistance going back into this circuit that now has a shorted power supply. The effect of shorting the power supply is, first of all, there's no voltage that would interfere with the reading of the meter. But more importantly, when you short the power supplies, both of those resistors are now actually in parallel. They may not look like they're in parallel, but if you rearrange the circuit a little bit, you can see that they really are in parallel. So now you get the parallel resistance, and if you're busily calculating that sort of thing, that is 291.4 ohms. And now you've got both the resistance and the open terminal voltage that you can create a substitute black box power supply. That is an equivalent circuit to what this 680 ohm, the 510 ohm, and a 9 volt power supply. You now have an equivalent circuit that is nothing more than a two-terminal black box. It has a battery inside of it and a resistor inside of it. And that, when connected back into, if you look at the fourth picture, if you connect it back to the 470 ohm resistor, is a simple series circuit. You have a, in this case, 5 volt source feeding the 470 ohm resistor into another series resistor, and then into a battery and back to ground. Now, the voltage of the battery doesn't add to the 5 volts. In this case, it subtracts from it. The reason it subtracts from it is because the positive end of the battery is now feeding one end of the 470 ohm resistor, and the other end of the 470 ohm resistor is being fed by the plus 5, but because they're both positive, the actual voltage difference across the 470 ohm resistor is smaller. It is this is on the order of 1.2 volts or something. I had it calculated earlier. I don't remember it. But when you look at that, it's important that you take into account the polarities of these things, because if you don't look at the polarities, if you get one of the batteries backwards in your calculations, its voltage will add instead of subtract or something like that, and your numbers will be way off. So keep the signs in mind. It's important not to get confused on the signs of things. Okay. Now, if you're still working this stuff out, the voltage across where the meter is actually reading it is higher than the battery voltage inside the black box. The black box voltage was 3.857 volts. The voltage that's read at the terminal where the meter is connected, because the 470 ohm resistor is pulling it up toward 5, the voltage there, at the point where the meter connects, is 4.294 volts. So if you're actually working the numbers to see if you understand what I've said so far, you'll get that number. You get 4.294. And incidentally, the drop across the 470 ohm resistor is 0.7055 volts, a relatively small voltage. So now you have a way to create a black box that sort of substitutes for the rest of the circuit, and you end up with a simple series circuit where Ohm's law can be applied. Interestingly enough, if you were to actually build the original circuit on the left and put the 470 ohm resistor back in it and measure the voltage, it would be exactly the same. The 470 ohm resistor doesn't see anything different whether it's connected to the black box equivalent power supply, the one with the blue outline that I've drawn, or whether it's connected into the 680 ohm, 510 ohm, and 5 volt power or 9 volt power supply that I have shown at the left. Okay, proceeding right along to the second picture, the one at the bottom. This one is the thing called a resistor bridge. I gather that the reason they call it a resistor bridge is because there's the 470 ohm in this case appears to be dangling across, you know, a suspension bridge or something. I don't know why they call it that, but anyway, they call that a bridge circuit. It sort of outlines an H pattern, is maybe one way to look at it. The 9-volt power supply is the same on both sides on this circuit, but the resistors are different, and there are four resistors surrounding the 470 ohm. If you remove the 470 ohm resistor, calculating the voltage on either side of that resistor, if that 470 ohm resistor isn't part of the circuit, is pretty straightforward. You calculate the voltage the same way I did in the previous example, and when you calculate the voltage on the left-hand leg, the 330 ohm, 680 ohm leg, the voltage from ground to the point where the 470 ohm resistor is connected on that leg is 6.06 volts. I'll leave it as an exercise for the student to work the details of that out. The right-hand leg of the left-hand picture, left-hand circuit, the 910 ohm, 220 ohm leg is 1.75 volts. So you've got one of them was 6.06, the one on the right, the one on the left, 1.75 volts, and that becomes the two batteries for two black box circuits. Then to calculate the resistance of the right side, I have shown the shorted power supply, and I've shown an ohmmeter trying to read into that node. Same for the left-hand side. I've shown the shorted power supply equivalent for it. And so now you end up with an R equiv. If you look down, okay, the third or the second picture, the one where the 330 ohm and 680 ohm are shorted together, there's an arrow coming out of the reading of that meter that says R equiv equals 222 ohms, and that's pointing to the equivalent black box resistor. And similarly, the third circuit, the one where the 910 and 220 ohm are shorted together, if you look above, I have R equiv equals 177 ohms, and that points back down to the other blue outlined black box power supply. And maybe I should be referring to them as blue box, but I use colors for the outlines. So, and they call them black box. I'm not kidding you. That's really what they call them. So the resistor there is a 177 ohm resistor, and because the two batteries are both the same polarity, they subtract whenever you measure across them. So the 470 ohm resistor connected across in this case is seeing a difference of 6.06 volts minus 175 volts, and the loading effect with that resistor in place, you have a series circuit with the 220 ohm effective equivalent inside resistance, the 470 ohm external resistor, the 177 ohm equivalent internal resistance, And whenever you do the calculations, you end up with 2.33 volts, as I've shown the meter connected there. For your lab, I don't expect you to find all these exact numbers. I have chosen resistor values that you can actually purchase. You can't get just any resistor value, but I have stuck to the standard numbers for the NAS standard 10% numbers, I believe, for the resistor values that I've used. If you want to construct this circuit exactly as shown, yes, you can go out and buy the resistors, hook them up, and they should work exactly as I've shown here. However, for your lab, I don't expect you to go out and make a special trip for every one of these, so what I suggested that you do is kind of ad lib a little bit. Try and find resistors in the resistors that you have, and use your wall wart to power the thing. I had advised earlier that you get a 9-volt wall wart would be the best. Well, now you see why, because I'm actually using 9 volts in some of my examples. That's because 9-volt wall DC wall adapters are pretty common. This will probably be the first time that you've ever actually did any voltage measurement with your multimeter if you're doing labs. Be careful to read the instructions on how to connect your meter up. Don't set to the lowest voltage reading first. Start out at least at the 10-volt scale if it has a 10-volt scale. And work, you know, and if you don't read anything there, start working your way down. Also pay attention to the polarity. Whenever you're using a mechanical meter, if you get the polarity wrong, the meter will swing the wrong direction. It'll swing backwards below zero. So you have to turn the leads around so that you get a positive reading. If you do all this, hopefully you will be rewarded by a deeper understanding of this stuff, and maybe you'll be able to figure out other circuits. I probably should include more circuits to experiment with this sort of thing. There are textbooks out there, I'm sure, that if you really want to go into this, you probably can find numerous examples of Thevenizable circuits. Anyway, good luck to you, and on to the next.